Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. We're getting ahead of a bigger issue and protecting customers from higher costs in the future. We have got that story, plus Mossad assets. But first, this week in RIP, rest in peace, but also other words we will not use here. Was Lindsey Graham assassinated? Putin aide blames Israel's Mossad amid MAGA's poisoned claim, and Trump is next. Damn, Corbett, this sounds like from Sorcha Fall from back in the day. They also claim, of course, Trump is next, which is like Angel is next, which any 9/11 student should know what that means. Grabbing this from Hindustan Times, the death of South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has opened a Pandora's box of conspiracy theories on social media, James, which I refer to as the internet. Leading the charge, far-right influencer Laura Loomer, who has claimed that Iran or Russia poisoned the senator who recently visited Ukraine in an official capacity. The senator's death surprisingly came just hours after he returned from Kiev. Graham's office said earlier that he died from a brief illness on Saturday night. He was 71. Later, his office revealed the senator's cause of death as a tear in his aorta due to cardiovascular disease. But the sudden nature of his death has sparked theories and doubts in the public mind, which is pretty much all anybody has in their minds anymore about every news story in the world, especially about a foreign plot to kill the senator being at work. So much so that FBI Director J. Edgar Boozer announced later on Sunday that the agency will investigate the senator's death, even as MAGA, because it's just one giant unit that decides on its own, even as the MAGA claim that the senator was poisoned by either Russia or Iran, a completely different hypothesis has emerged from the Russian side. Top advisor of Russian President Vladimir Putin, Israel's counterintelligence agency Mossad could be behind the death of the 71-year-old senator. Also read, what is an aortic rupture? The senator, notably, was a close ally of the Israel cause throughout his political career, which, James, I feel like from how old this dude always looked, to look and see that he's only been there for the last 20 years, I was actually kind of surprised. He's not a decades and decades long guy like Chucky Schumer. Pretty great performance from Chuck Schumer in Congress today. After his death, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu remembered him as a good friend and said that he already misses Graham. It's like, okay, you went too far. I can believe you say, oh, I'm sad that this other politician died, but that's your good buddies and you're already sad about him being gone. You pushed it too far. Rest in war. And yeah, all the armchair conspiracists thought it was this other guy. Mitch McConnell says after weeks of speculation that dude is dead, no proof of life, everybody's lying, that he was just in the hospital because he fell. And of course, when you go to the hospital, you're also going to contract pneumonia as well. Posting a proof of life picture with he and his wife that, of course, the memers instantly turned into he was a dead zombie and she's alive being right there. McConnell says after weeks of speculation, hospitalization was due to fall and pneumonia. But I think really, honestly, his wife's Chi-Com connections are far more interesting to investigate, Elaine Chao. And as we are piling up the RIPs, New Zealand icon Sam Neill had been sick with pneumonia before death. Co-star says, grabbing that from Stuff NZ, and James, I was actually just watching a horror documentary which kept showing Sam Neill in some of his bigger roles in the 90s. And the most horrifying thing is Sam Neill said, salvation lies in vaccination. It's like the words came out of his mouth of madness. Horror fans will get that joke. Sam Neill talks new film, says salvation lies in vaccines, February 4th, 2021. So not very surprising there. And yes, it's always better, you know, when we've just got videos of them saying, I love all this COVID stuff. I've got 18 boosters and you should too. And then whoops, later they're dead. But the one we are sad about here to announce here in the Media Monarchy Kingdom, RIP to a giant in the field of independent media, John Rappaport, passed away July 8th, 2026. He knew it was coming. He posted his pre-recorded farewell message, which his executive producer has shared and made the announcement. I will include the links, James, to just a search on Corbett Report for John Rappaport. And I'll link to my one interview with John Rappaport from 2014, where we talked about his article that maybe some of the giants of jazz were also MK Ultra subjects. Rest in peace, rest in war, James.
Exactly right. Well, rest in peace to John Rappaport. As you say, absolutely, an OG, longtime conspiracy realist. And I hope people will familiarize themselves with the stuff in my archive, in your archive, and of course, his work generally. It deserves to be remembered. But having said that, yes, there is a roundup of rascals in this rest in peace segment as well, including, of course, Lindsey Graham and the hello, fellow conspiracy realists. You like conspiracy theories, right? Well, it was definitely Putin who killed Lindsey Graham. Source, trust me, bro. If you want a refutation of that, I'll throw in a link to Andrew Korybko's newsletter on Substack, Stop the Madness, Putin Didn't Kill Lindsey Graham, in which he provides the opposite viewpoint on that particular one. But hey, maybe it was Israel? But why? I mean, no one has been a bigger supporter or fan of Israel in the U.S. Congress critter nexus than Lindsey Graham. And just like you, I have remembered Lindsey Graham for all of my political consciousness of the past couple of decades. So I am flabbergasted to find out he only started in, what, 2003 or something? I would have assumed he went back to the 70s or something like that. Anyway, no big loss, but like with all of these creatures that die in the swamp, it's not like the swamp is going to get any less fetid. It's just that different swamp creatures will emerge to take his place. And from what I understand, his sister is going to serve out the rest of his term or something. Like, how? I don't know. I don't know how this American system works over there. And with regards to Mitch McConnell, yeah, it is funny seeing the memes about that proof of life picture and how this can't be real, et cetera, et cetera. But it just goes to show that even if there is truly nothing whatsoever happening, they can just literally just not tell you anything for a couple of weeks, and then people online can go crazy with the speculation, etc. And then they can come out and go, look, you're all crazy, I'm alive. So I don't know. Again, I don't think it will fundamentally change the direction of the United States whether Mitch McConnell lives or dies. So I'm not particularly hanging on my edge of my seat about it, but it is interesting to speculate. And as you say, maybe the most interesting part about it is his wife? Question mark? Yeah.
Big time connections to just multi-billionaire Jiang Zemin and shipping and all that sort of stuff. Kind of sounds like, oh, I don't know, business as usual. But James, I swear, I used to joke back in college because we all had our kind of college town jobs, mostly service industry kind of things. We're also, of course, youngsters who like to party, and sometimes you have trouble making it into that work shift the next time. I had the idea that was like, as long as you have someone covering your shift, it's allowed at any employment across America. So we just extrapolate it out to this level. Yeah, it's like, oh, how important is your job if some rando without any experience can suddenly replace you? Family or not. Hey, where's the foreman? We really got a lot of work to do on this really complex construction project. Oh, he died. His brother from 7-Eleven is going to come and cover it. It's like, okay, can everybody do that? No. Only your important Congress critters can do that, James. That's see, if you know President Pallotta, that's how I would run things here. Thankfully, that's never going to happen. That's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 637. As we move to our second story, well, I'll just have a whole little triptych here of, I think, pretty interesting Oregon stories. Now, you know, I used to live in Portland, Oregon for about 15 years. Still a lot of interesting, fascinating things going on there. Because even though we don't live there, we still love it. We still kind of miss it, even though we know we don't want to live there anymore. Oregon data centers face sharp electricity hike under new Power Act. The state of Oregon's utility regulator implementing a new rule that will raise the electricity bills of data centers and other large energy users to allow lower rates for other customers. To allow lower rates. That doesn't mean you're going to get them. The Oregon Public Utility Commission approved updated electricity rates for data centers and other residential and commercial customers that Portland General Electric PGE was required to change under a state law known as the Protecting Oregonians with Energy Responsibility, the Power Act. Under the law, PGE will raise rates by an average of 29% on data center customers, while residential customers will see an average decrease of 1.3%. Commercial rates will fall by an average of 2.1%, and other industrial customers' rates will decline by an average of 1.4%. PUC estimated the move will impact about 963,000 customers across PGE's service territory. I'm sure that would have included us if we were living there and where we used to live. These changes ensure that costs created by data centers in PGE's territory are more accurately reflected in their rates, said Commission Chair Letha Tawney. By putting this structure in place now, we're getting ahead of a bigger issue, citation needed, enabling responsible data centers to pay their own way and protecting customers from higher costs in the future. PGE's rate changes officially took effect today. After a long, rather month-long review by PUC after the changes were delayed from their original implementation date in early June to accommodate a more in-depth review. In the first utility, it is the first utility in Oregon to adapt a new rate schedule for data center customers under the law, the Power Act, signed into law last year by Governor Tina Kotek after the legislation passed the Democratic-controlled legislature on votes that largely, of course, went along party lines in both chambers. Governor Kotek said in a statement that the Power Act was intended to ensure fairness and accountability when large energy users like data centers take up more load on Oregon's electrical grid. And James, I wonder, though, is it battle of the day late, dollar short, white liberal governor ladies? Because it's contagious. New York Governor Kathy Hochul enacts nation's first statewide moratorium on building new data centers. So that's maybe some not unmitigated good news, but I would argue they only care now that it's in the news and they want to get out in front of the parade and act like they're leading it when, of course, they are always behind. Another story from Oregon that I think is pretty related. Proposed Oregon radar sites to detect airborne threats draws environmental concerns. This basically looks like the Fed saying, we want to put in a bunch of radars and satellites so we can tell if we're being attacked by the Chi-Coms or the Russians. But they're not putting it in Portland where all the libs go. They're putting it out in the country. Do the words malheur, refuge, standoff ring any bells? You might remember in Malheur, Oregon, that is one of their counties. The Bundys, the Ammon Bundys, they joined in on the Malheur standoff. All of these stories again that were going on when it was black man bad, you know, like orange man bad. Of course, they were doing that because of these awful Democrats. So now I will be really interested to see how this story goes when MAGA wants to put a bunch of radars in places where MAGA don't want it. It is a beautiful place. Again, there's Portland, and then there's the entire rest of Oregon and the other legal shenanigans that, again, you remember, you got to start out with a good acronym because you're not going to get any good coverage and any good sloganeering if you don't have a good acronym like the Power Act or the Peace Act. People for the Elimination of Animal Cruelty Exemptions, animal rights activists move closer to banning hunting in Oregon. Petition has got enough signatures. They say it is going to go on the ballot, James. This would ban all hunting in Oregon, which again is a little tiny Portland and a whole other giant state that knows and loves the outdoors and the environment. And this, I don't think, will really go well. This strikes me as one of those moves that they want to push you to see how far you'll actually go if we can just goad you into, I don't know, freaking out and trying to occupy some national park. James, that is an Oregon trilogy for you.
Very interesting stories, all of them. So I hope people will check into them in the show notes. But yes, specifically on the data center story, I think you're exactly right. Yeah, of course, the politicians like to get out in front and say, hey, guys, we're leading this parade. And of course, what they're probably trying to do is take the very real movement of people who are very angry about the data centers and steer it into some sort of regulatory process. And don't worry, guys, we'll charge them more for electricity. And it's all okay. And once they smooth it all over, then people can go back to their lives. See, you protested and it worked. If you don't want to see this movement go in that direction, I'll posit a couple of things. One, the answer to that isn't to go, okay, well, then we shouldn't protest because, you know, they're just going to steer it in whatever direction. No, the answer is to take over those protests and do them yourself and don't allow some politician to come in and try to smooth things over with some regulatory obfuscation. So if you are interested in not following some politician that's pretending to lead the parade, but lead your own parade, boy, have I got a resource for you. It's called reclaimfuture.com. It's the website for Reclaim Our Future, which is promising a national day of action against AI data centers. We aim to build a nonpartisan, nonviolent alliance of activists, advocates, independent media outlets, individuals, influencers, and organizations who are ready to hit the streets and raise our voices. It's time we collectively take a stand against the rapid acceleration in data center development. And they have a host an event button, which will take you to a map of the US. And you can, if you can see if there's an event in your area. And if there isn't an event in your area, oh, I guess it's on me. Okay. You can add your event, start one yourself and let people know that it's happening and advertise it. So they're trying to organize a national day of action August 1st. I know Derek Brose, Hakeem Anwar, other people are involved in this movement. So I hope people will at least check it out at reclaimfuture.com. And also on that note, people will remember from my Solutions Watch about Dune and the Butlerian Jihad and AI data centers and all of that earlier this year. I was talking to Hakeem Anwar about his AI data center map and the accompanying report. Well, that report is now finally available, so people can go to aidatacentermap.org to get that report on the data center issue to become informed about it. And now the data center map is up and running. And again, you can explore the map and add information about data centers in your area, etc. So there's a lot of valuable resource there for people who are not just going to sit back and let some politician try to smooth things over here. No, this is a genuine, real movement, and what it is and what it becomes is up to us, not them.
I mean, it's kind of on brand for New York's Governor Kathy Hochul. She was the one who wanted to ban, you know, cook stoves and things. Oh, whoops, and then was busted in her own photographs using the same thing she says you're not allowed to use. But I think in some ways, the inspiration from our British brothers and sisters destroying all those ULEZ cameras, the ultra low emission zone cameras, dude, the flock revolt here in the States is on as well. People know what they are now. Flock, these giant surveillance cameras, think of them again as your Amazon Ring door, your flock. It's just the surveillance state that they sell to people in a fun way that keeps you safe, except it never actually does. They never seem to really work in places where they're really needed. So the full, yeah, the flock revolt is on here in the States as well. And we can call that not unmitigated good news. As we move to our third and final story, man, this guy was a weekly mention on New World Next Week back in the day. He was quite the boogeyman because I don't know if you know, people might have just joined this party. But about 20 years ago, still doing this work, we were really worried that U.S. and Israel were going to collude together and go to war against Iran or something. Grabbing it from Zero Hedge, U.S. officials say Iran's Ahmadinejad was Mossad asset, met with intel chief in Hungary. Iran's former hardline president put his face up. You're like, ah, do you remember that face? Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, of all people. The New York Times out with a bombshell report which alleges that Israel's Mossad for years sought to cultivate him as an Israeli intelligence asset. The apparent multi-year effort to recruit and reinstall Ahmadinejad as leader of Iran has come to nothing. At a moment, his status and fate remain unclear amid the fog of war, and after a prior U.S.-Israeli strike on his house during the opening salvos of Operation Epic Fury resulted in him being whisked away from his Tehran neighborhood by his bodyguards. Hadn't heard anything about that. The story, which cites U.S. officials who are, for whatever reason, choosing this moment to leak the insider info, begins in the following. In early 2024, the rector of the university in Budapest received a startling request from a top Hungarian government official. The official told the rector, Professor Gergely Deli, the Ludovica University of Public Service should hold a climate change conference and extend an invitation to an unlikely guest, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the widely reviled former president of Iran. Even more shocking was the reason. The official told Mr. Deli that the conference was merely a front, you know, like a vaccination drive when they really just want to gather up all your DNA. For Mr. Ahmadinejad to have secret discussions in Budapest with intelligence operatives from Israel, Mr. Ahmadinejad's avowed enemy. You can believe that. And we go back to October 11th, 2009. James, how many years even is that? The pilot episode of New World Next Week. Very first episode, very first story. Ahmadinejad was born a Jew. Good night, everybody. So are you telling me, James, that 17 years later, what we said on the very first New World Next Week episode now has been vetted and proven by the New York Times?
Maybe. Yes, I hope people will actually go and check out that story from, as you say, October 11th, 2009, the very first pilot episode of New World Next Week, which linked back to a Telegraph story. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad revealed to have Jewish past, which takes its cue from a photograph of Ahmadinejad where he was holding his identity card, and that exposed, he doxed himself, because Ahmadinejad is not his original birth name. He was originally Saburgian, which is a Jewish name meaning cloth weaver. And so the Telegraph wrote this whole story about it and about his family and how they changed their name to, once they converted to Islam, and because they were actually Jewish and all of this. And we reported on it at that time, but also the second ever episode of New World Next Week, which was for some reason just 4 days later on October 15th, 2009, it involved the first ever amendment correction edition of a New World Next Week story where we reported on The Guardian, which just a few days after that Telegraph report came out with Ahmadinejad has no Jewish roots, in which they tried to basically poo-poo all of this and say, no, Saburgian is not a well-known Jewish name, and it doesn't mean cloth weaver and all of this. Make of that what you will. At any rate, they do admit, well, yes, his name, birth name was not Ahmadinejad. It was Saburgian. But, you know, nothing to see here. Who cares? Who cares why they changed their name? Anyway, yeah, it's a crazy story. But, you know, fast forward 15, 16, 17 years, and yeah, oh, yeah, oh, okay, right, it's exactly, I mean, it lines up anyway, regardless of whether or not he is actually from a Jewish family, whatever. The point is, yes, he was colluding with Israeli intelligence agents in a quest and a bid to come back to power, and that's sort of what this revolves around. Ahmadinejad is not likely to take over in Iran anytime soon under any normal circumstances. But hey, maybe if Mossad had their thumb on the scale during this some sort of regime change operation that, oh, by the way, they were running. Remember when it was reported earlier this year, Mossad is there in the protests in Iran, you know, leading the way and supplying guns and arms and stuff. Yeah. So again, this is part of a much deeper operation. The roots go deep, and maybe right back to Ahmadinejad's real roots as a Saburgian.
Hey, they say Hitler had Jewish blood as well. So this is also kind of in keeping with sort of what I would call historical conspiracy theorizing, or possibly agitprop, because it's meant to agitate. The propaganda is meant to aggravate people. I'll also include a link. And James, I got my speculation about why those episodes are so close together. Our show on this day, 16 years ago today in 2010, episode, I don't even know what number that one is, Amiri abducted, Kelly suicided, farmers bankrupted, from July 15th, 2010. In the first couple of seconds, you'll hear me counting us in, because back in the old days, you could only put up 10 minutes, and we still, to this day, shoot these as though they are live, so we don't have to do a bunch of heavy surgery and post-production kind of editing. So that's a fun one to listen to. I heard it playing today, James, and I was like, what's, where am I, why am I counting things off? 4 days later, I wonder if we were already lining up for, hey, this is the day. I was about to bring up a calendar, but I didn't want to mess up my video. I wonder if the pilot episode we just shot on whatever day we could, and that very next episode is actually my Wednesday and your Thursday, as we have done these shows for nearly a couple of decades. We run newworldnextweek.com for all your monarchy hats and your Corbett gears and your USBs and DVDs, and I know, James, you and I were talking off mic a little earlier before we got taping. I was showing you my new CD I got in, and you're asking the question, do people have CD players? I think people still have DVD players, and that's a great thing you can get over at newworldnextweek.com. They can't delete it. They can't tell you your server's offline. You know, you'll need some power from a data center, though. I also get the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes and play them on my radio stream before it's published anywhere. And you can hit that up at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. That is in about 13 hours from right now, James. There's episode 637, buddy.
Pop quiz hotshot. What was Principal Skinner's real name?
Are you talking about the episode everybody hates, though? Yeah. The one that's...
Right. Isn't it Saburgian? Something like that.
It's Armin Tamzarian is the name. I can get that. Hey, my mom was telling me that a West Virginian that they know was on Jeopardy the other day. They didn't bet anything on Final Jeopardy, and they lost, even though they got the question right. It's like, oh, you should have bet something. So yeah, I'm a trivia nerd. I would love to go on Jeopardy. I did fill out one of the postcards once back in the day, and I thought about going to D.C., you know, when they drive the van around and you can go audition and stuff, but I never did it. So I'll just turn Media Monarchy into my end game show.
That's a good answer. I like that. Be your own media. Anyway, we should go on as a tag team. And if there's a question about Ahmadinejad's original name, I'll answer that one. And if there's a question about Principal Skinner's real name. Anyway. All right. Thank you. Thank you for the stories again, James. Looking forward to doing it again.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care, man.
Take care.